About a couple of weeks ago, we were we had an assignment. Don had something to go to on Friday night north of Saskatoon, and we had somebody to pick up and bring back here on Saturday, so we decided to stay for night in that area. So I have a nephew who lives on the farm where I grew up, and we thought, oh, wouldn't it be nice to sleep in the old farmhouse? The farmhouse is 100 years old this year, built in 1917, and it's a beautiful place inside, pretty much the same as what it looked like. It's just all been restored and beautifully finished. So we had that opportunity of sleeping in the old farmhouse. Just a great experience. The next morning I got up early and I went out to walk. The farmyard is really beautiful. All the trees that my sister-in-law planted, and yet I went walking further than the farmyard. I went to the dugout and to this bush where we used to play. We called it the log cabin bush. And the grass was long, and the trees had grown where there weren't trees before. The dugout was totally surrounded with trees, and I could hardly get through this long grass. And there was, you know, old implements stuck in the grass that you just about tripped over. And anyways, went to the bush where we used to play, had so much fun. It's all changed. Everything's different. In fact, it was so different, I noticed these big moose tracks all through the bush over there, and this area where the moose had lain down for the night, and moose dropping, so I knew there was moose around. We never had moose in those days. And so I just got thinking, this is so different from what I remember. It's just not the same. I wish I could go back to what it used to be like, because we had everything fenced in, and the pasture was nice and, you know, mown by the cows, of course, and cow paths, and just tons of fun playing in these places. But it had all changed. And that got me thinking about my own life and the fact that so much has changed for me, for us as well. I'm facing a major birthday, and I've looked at the last 10 years and I figured it's gone by so fast. And what are the next 10 years might hold. I'm beginning to wonder. Things haven't always turned out as I had hoped they would. And even now I feel somewhat adrift. I don't know what's ahead and where God is going to take us, what's next. Sometimes I'm disappointed and looking at the, you know, what used to be and the way I wish things would have turned out. Mostly I'm disappointed in myself. But I can't change things, and I can't go back. And a verse that came to me, thinking about this experience going around on the farm, was something unchangeable. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. There are I want to talk about two certainties in life. One is change, and the other is God. Specifically, Jesus. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. For many of us, life has not turned out the way we would have liked to or would have expected it to turn out. Many disappointments. Relationships have gone wrong. Children have gone astray. Haven't made choices that we would have liked to see them make. Health has failed some of us. We find sometimes finances in short supply. Seemingly sometimes our prayers, after praying long about something, haven't been answered. Disaster has struck. We think of the fires in BC, the floods in Texas and other places. Someone close to us has died, and of course we can all think of many situations that are like that. Our faith in these situations is severely tested. Where are you, God, in my trouble? You seemed so real to me at one time, so close. So this verse I found out was in the book of Hebrews. And I want to sort of look at that briefly this morning. It's the end of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 13, and it comes at the end of the book. I want to read it in its context as well. It's the last chapter of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 13, given with other advice in that chapter. The advice is to these Hebrew Christians, new Christians, keep on loving one another. Don't forget to show hospitality. Continue to remember those in prison. Marriage should be honored. Keep ourselves pure sexually. Keep yourself free from the love of money. Be content with what you have. And then the paragraph, Hebrews 13, verses 7 and 8, where the verse comes. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. After Jesus' ascension into heaven and the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, there were many, many new believers amongst Jewish people. Most of the new believers were Hebrews, were of the Jewish faith. And we read about 3,000 coming to be believers at one time, and then another a little while later, up to 5,000. God continued to add to those believers daily, it says. And there's a place where it says in the book of Acts that many priests were added to this number as well. So the Judaism had a lot of priests that served in the temple continuously, and a lot of these had become believers in Jesus. The book was probably written about 30 years after Jesus ascended back into heaven. So these people were tempted sometimes to go back to their own ways, particularly because they experienced persecution. Things didn't turn out the way they expected them to turn out. Things got hard for them. And when they were persecuted and when things got too rough, they perhaps thought of going back to their old ways, to the old familiar ways, sometimes into sinful practices, to old habits. So the letter to the Hebrews is basically to tell them, hang on to your faith. Don't give up now. Jesus is the same. He's your Savior. He's your Lord. Don't quit. Don't give up. So back to that paragraph where that verse is located, it doesn't seem to really fit into that paragraph. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So they were encouraged to remember their leaders, who had some of whom had actually been witnesses of Jesus, who had been with Jesus, and they had taught them the good news about Jesus, and these people had now believed. They've been taught the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life. Having believed in Jesus, now look at them and see what their lives have turned out like. Imitate their faith. The same Jesus that you trusted is the same Jesus that some of your leaders saw and met and trusted. Look at their character. Look at their Christ-likeness. Look at the effectiveness of what they are doing. So the question I want to ask ourselves this morning and try and answer briefly is, who was Jesus and what was Jesus like yesterday, if he is the same today and will be forever? Well, we want to start at the beginning of the book of Hebrews. So Hebrews chapter 1. And what was Jesus? Who was Jesus? What was Jesus like yesterday? In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he also made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. And so he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. Jesus is God's final word. We know that God spoke creation into being, and we realize that Jesus was there at the beginning. John chapter 1, the Gospel of John, tells us the same thing. The Word was there in the beginning. He was there with God as he was creating the earth. So yes, Jesus' yesterday was at the beginning, and he was there at creation. Then the Word came to Moses, God's word of the law, God's standard of righteousness came to Moses, and of course these Hebrew people relied heavily on God's word to Moses. But now the writer to the Hebrews is telling them there is a final word, and this is Jesus. And we know that John called Jesus the Word. Jesus was God's final word, God's final revelation. And what we read there was, the Son, Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. So, Jesus is not only the Son of God, he is God and superior to angels. Jesus was there in God, with God, at the beginning. Secondly, Jesus was also fully human. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 9 to 11. But we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through suffering. Both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them his brothers and sisters. Jesus, God, became one of us. That's the amazing thing. He understands us. He's merciful and compassionate. He's not condemning, even though he knows how far away we are from him. He helps us when we're tempted. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our failures. And we can come to him and admit these and receive his help at any time. Jesus is one of us. He understands. I love Jacob's dream when Jacob was running from his brother, he had a dream in which he saw a stairway reaching from heaven to the earth, between heaven and earth. And on this stairway, there were angels ascending and descending. And it's amazing that later in John's Gospel, Jesus told one of his future disciples that, you will see the Son of Man and the angels ascending and descending on him. Jesus is the stairway to heaven. Jesus is the one that brings us close to the Father, that helps us to be in right relationship with God again and be able to be with him. So Jesus is also fully human. Jesus is greater than Moses and the law. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 4 to 6. Every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, bearing witness to what would be spoken by God in the future. But Christ is faithful as the Son over God's house. And we are his house, if indeed we hold firmly to our confidence and the hope in which we glory. We are his house. As Moses was a servant over God's house, the Son, Jesus, is the Son over the house. We are living stones, Ephesians tells us, in this house. Stones that are put together for a building that contains the glory of God. When we are baptized into his body, into Jesus. Jesus not only comes into us, but we come into Jesus. And we are his expression, the presence of God on the earth as Jesus lives in us and through us. So Hebrews, the writer to Hebrews goes on to say that not only was Jesus God, the Son of God, higher than, superior to angels, also fully human, and greater than Moses and the law, who these people highly respected, he was also our great high priest. Hebrews chapter 4, 14 to 16. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Not only was Jesus the great high priest, but he was also the final, God's ultimate and final sacrifice for sin, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And of course, we know that the Hebrews would have been very familiar with the situation of sacrificing a lamb at Passover and coming under the blood that would remove their sins from them. Hebrews 9, verse 26. But he has appeared once for all at the culmination of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. Just as people are destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed to take away the sins of many. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Sacrifice for sin as well as being the great high priest. God as well as being human, and so much more that we know about Jesus. This is the Jesus of our yesterday. This is what Jesus was like and is like today. And so we're encouraged to maintain our trust in who he is and what he's done yesterday, and apply that to our lives today. We also have a yesterday with Jesus. We've experienced forgiveness of our sins, the joy of sins forgiven. And I'm sure most of you can remember just the joy and the weight taken off at knowing that your sins are forgiven. The newness of life that we experience, his favor, his blessing, his provision, strength from him, his presence. And one of the things, maybe if there's a problem that I have with this verse, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever, is that we don't see his healing power today like he did in the day that he was walking this earth. Everyone who needed healing who came to Jesus was healed. And we have to ask ourselves, why isn't that happening in our day? If Jesus is the same yesterday as he is today, is the same today as he was yesterday, then we want to see more of his healing power in our day as well. And we have lots of reason to ask him about that and ask him why and continue to believe that he wants to do that today as well. We can experience him today as we have in the past. The rest of Hebrews encourages us to remain faithful. In chapter 11 is the list of the saints, of all those faithful people who were faithful to God, faithful in their faith to God and into Jesus, even without sometimes seeing the results that they were hoping for or believing for. In chapter 12, there's a couple of verses that I want to read. It's talking about the great cloud of witnesses, the great group of witnesses, people that have gone before us, who have remained faithful, and who are now, in a sense, cheering us on. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Sometimes the sin is simply unbelief, faithlessness, the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God, right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Jesus Christ, the same today, the same yesterday and today and forever. We will one day see him face to face. There's a man, a human being, with a resurrected body, nail scars still in his hands, in his feet, the scar of the sword in his side. He's in heaven, and he will return in the same way that he has ascended into heaven. One final verse that I want to read about this Jesus. On the day that Jesus ascended back into heaven, he ascended up into heaven. It says, after he had said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going. Then suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus," and those are the words that really rang true to me, "this same Jesus, the Jesus that we just talked about, that's talked about in the book of Hebrews, yesterday, all that he's done, all that he's done for us and exactly who he is the same today. This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever.